God's Word from the Gospel according to Luke in the 13th chapter, the 10th through the 17th verses. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This message is part of a series that we are doing here at Daleville Christian Church, and I'm trying to stay the course on this series despite the weather, the every weekend snows, the ice, and the cold. So for anyone who may have missed some of this series, let me try and bring you up to speed. Jesus began his work on earth with a declaration of the inauguration of the kingdom of God. What Jesus declared as the year of the Lord's favor, Jesus' use of that term is an echo of the prophet Isaiah. And it's an echo of the words of the angel choir who sang at Jesus' birth. They said, "Peace to those on whom the favor of God rests." The peace between God and humanity, because it's the peace between God and humanity, not the peace between all of us. God will work that out. But peace is between God and humanity is declared in Jesus. Jesus now declares, "The time is now. The time is here now. What the prophet Isaiah said would take place is now taking place." Jesus declared the program that God had outlined for Jesus to bring: good news to the poor, restoring sight to the blind, release for the captives, and Isaiah's actual phrase, release from darkness for the captives. We've talked briefly about good news for the poor. There really is good news for the poor through Jesus Christ. It isn't about giving money out, although Daleville Christian Church has done that in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't do that. There is no record of Jesus handing out monies, his or anyone else's. Jesus did not have a program of redistribution. But in Christ, there is real help for the poor. When you think about it, Jesus often provided for people a way to make money or a way to return to work. Jesus put a dent in the beggar population. But there is real good news for the poor in Jesus Christ. There are programs of education with that purpose in mind, and I recommend those. There was one recently given at Daleville Community Library. Then we talked about giving sight to the blind and releasing people from darkness. Come to find out, there is all kind of darkness and all kinds of levels of darkness. However, Jesus cured them all. Whatever darkness you may have faced, whatever darkness you now face, or whatever darkness you may have yet to face, Jesus can release you from that darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus has come to be the light, and you and I are called to walk in that light, a light that has never been overcome by darkness, a light that cannot be overcome by any darkness, a light that will never be overcome by any darkness. The light of the world has come. The light to the world has come. Jesus went on to say, "He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That means the light that comes from the source of life, which is God, and that is true, and it means that the light gives life. That is also true. Jesus, as the sunlight gives life to the plant world, we who receive Jesus will have life. And as Jesus promised, we will have life in abundance. This is the year. This is the time. Why not here? Why not now? The light has come in Jesus Christ. Now today we look at release for the prisoners. Freedom for the prisoners. Now if you have ever said to yourself, "I'm not in prison," you have missed pretty much entirely what Jesus is talking about. First of all, you don't have to be in prison to be captive, do you? Let me tell you a silly story that illustrates the point. The late great motivational speaker and salesman Zig Ziglar used to make a presentation with his story of being a flea trainer. Zig would usually carry around an old jar with a lid on it, and if anyone asked him what the empty jar was for, he would tell them he was a flea trainer. That usually got people's attention. It goes like this. You put fleas in a jar and put the lid on, the fleas will jump and jump and jump, and they will continue to hit the lid of the jar. They will do that for a while, and then a little later you will notice they don't hit the jar lid anymore. Some of them have stopped jumping altogether. Then you can take the lid off the jar, and the fleas can't jump out. They can't jump out. You've trained them to keep from jumping out of the jar. You and I can see that the fleas are capable of jumping out of the jar with the lid off, but the fleas can't jump out. They are done trying to jump out anymore. Even with the lid off the jar, those fleas are captives in the jar. There were people in Jesus' day just like those fleas. We will blame the Pharisees because they're an easy target. They taught people for years that the people weren't good enough to have a relationship with God. The Pharisees taught that only people who wanted to obey the rules that the Pharisees dictated, only those people could have a relationship with God. And eventually, many people quit trying to have a relationship with God. There was the man born blind who was told that someone sinned, that he had been born blind. Maybe his parents sinned. Some people thought that the victims of a tower accident were pretty bad sinners to have been killed that way. Were you poor? Were you a beggar? Were you having trouble keeping the food laws the Pharisees dictated? Did you have to work for the government to get a job? Then the Lord God wasn't interested in a relationship with you. That's what the Pharisees taught. And eventually, many people believed it. Jesus came saying, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned that he was born blind, but that the power of God would be shown through his blindness." Jesus came saying to Simon the Pharisee when he went there for dinner, "Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing me. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. That woman wanted a relationship with the Lord. But Simon the Pharisee didn't think she could have one. Simon the Pharisee didn't think the woman could have one that night. Simon the Pharisee thought Jesus should know better than to even be in that woman's presence. Jesus came saying, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." The woman was freed, wasn't she? And the woman we read about today, a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. There's another sermon in here somewhere, and maybe I'll be able to give some time to it, but the ancients knew the difference between illnesses and conditions that required a doctor's care, and conditions that required prayer and offering and fasting. You and I do not know those differences, but the ancients knew them. So Jesus could say, the woman was crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And it was a Sabbath day. The woman was certain that she would not be freed that day. Jesus simply asked the question, "Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" She was a daughter of Abraham. She was Jewish, a Judean. The Sabbath was made for her, Jesus would say. The Sabbath was made for her and for her people. The Sabbath was made for her. She wasn't made for the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees taught. Hadn't Satan kept her prisoner long enough? Friends, I can't know what might be keeping you a prisoner. Oh, I'm sure there are no bars on your prison. I'm also pretty sure there's no lid on the jars that someone else may have put you in. And maybe you are already free. But there is one thing worse than being a captive, and that's being a captive and not knowing that you are a captive. But whether you know that you are a captive or not, the truth is this: your liberator has come. The light has come. You can have the light of life. You can have life and have it to the full. You can have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. No darkness, no prisons, no sins, nothing in your past or in your present can keep you from the one who came to save you. Jesus has declared this the year of the Lord's favor. Some of us have gotten out of one jar only to discover that the one jar was inside an even bigger jar. And we have to know to jump out of the bigger jar now. But some of us learn that we can get out, we can go free. Our liberator is here. Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, who died that we might have a relationship with God, so that we might have new lives. Not the lives we lived in old jars, but a new life, a new world. Let me briefly speak to two examples of this freedom we have. We often talk about illness as keeping us. We talk like we are prisoners of illness. We talk that way. We'd say, "I was forced to go to bed," or "I had to stay home," or "I had to go to bed," or "I had to lay down." Jesus came as a healer. How many times did Jesus lift people up, literally lift them off their sickbed, or in some cases, their funeral bier, their deathbed? And didn't Jesus straighten this woman up? Jesus raised people from their own deathbeds. Jesus raised them from death. Jesus freed them from death. The healer, Jesus, comes to free us. Finally, we so often use the phrase forgive and forget and apply it to ourselves as something we should do. Actually, the Bible tells us that forgiving and forgetting is something that God does. The prophet Isaiah declared it this way, it's God speaking, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. The Lord forgives you, and then the Lord forgets your sins. So I have to ask, do you? God has forgotten your sins. Do you forget your sins? Or do you play them over and over for yourself? You get to have regret over and over when once is sufficient. We will remember our sins when God in Christ doesn't. Why do we do that? The Lord says, I blot out your transgressions for my own sake. What do? We remember our sins. We remember our transgressions, and then we have remorse. And you know what the word remorse literally means, right? To bite yourself again. To bite yourself again. Why do that? If the Lord, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you and now doesn't remember what you did, how can he do that, you might wonder? Well, because he's God. If God wants to forget it, he has forgotten it. You can even mention your old sins to the Lord, and he'll say, I don't even know what you're talking about. So why do we make ourselves a prisoner of our own sins, which God doesn't even remember in Christ? Jesus has freed you from the prison, even of your own failings and sins. Pretty awesome, don't you think? There are many, many other examples. Are you in the grip of grief? Grief is appropriate, but there are ways to work through it. Are you in the grip of the past? Are you living according to something that happened a long time ago instead of living in the present? Are you holding on to a grudge, even a grudge against yourself? Are you doing things the same way when you don't have to do it that way? The risen Christ said, Behold, I make all things new. Today is the day. Satan has kept us all bound long enough. Enough. Prisoners of something in our past that Jesus has forgiven or will forgive. I'm sorry, wait. No, actually, Jesus forgave all of our sins, even the ones we haven't done yet. But when they happen, ask forgiveness, which is yours in and through Jesus Christ. This is the year the Lord does us all a favor. Jesus declared it. We are free. Amen.